Well, I don't know about you, but for me every year, interviewing our seniors brings me a great deal of joy. So hopefully it does for you as well. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. Speaking of Jesus, it reads, "Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' And they answered, 'John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen.' And then he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered, 'The Christ of God.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed in this place. We pray that we would be able to feel your Holy Spirit moving and working, that he would be breathing new life into us, both inside and out. We pray that you would help your word come alive in our hearts and our minds and our actions in brand new ways. We thank you especially this morning for our graduates. We thank you that you are a God who cares about knowledge and learning and education. We thank you for creating us in your image with the ability to learn and discern. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for our graduates now that as they grow and they learn, that they would also grow and learn in wisdom. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Well, I had a feeling that this morning might take just a little bit longer than normal morning, so we did a couple of things. We decided to move communion till next week. And so we are going to take communion next week. And then I decided I was going to make my message a little bit shorter. I didn't figure any of our graduates would mind that much. And, and if you know me well, that's actually a pretty short scripture passage for me to read also. I like to pick longer ones to read. And so we abbreviated things a little bit. But we are in a sermon series, Questions That Jesus Asked, in an effort to help us better understand Jesus, his mission, and how we can apply that to our lives. Jesus was a teacher, and he taught frequently by using questions or asking questions of his audience, looking for responses in his teaching style. And so as I was thinking about, well, what question that Jesus asked might be of particular importance for our graduates? And this question that Jesus asks here in Luke chapter 9, "Who do you say that I am?" The question that he asks of his disciples, he asks of us as well. And I would argue that the way that you answer that question is arguably one of the most important answers that you will ever give. One of the most important questions that you will ever be asked, one of the most important answers you'll ever give. In this account, in the parallel accounts of Matthew and Mark, it locates this incident in the vicinity of Caesarea Philippi, near Mount Hermon. It's as important primarily because this was heathen territory, or territory of people who were not Jewish, people who worshipped false gods, primarily a god named Pan. And so Jesus is gathered here with his disciple in the midst of a culture, geography, where a foreign god, a false god, was being worshipped. If they would have been in Jerusalem or another place where Jewish people lived and they were worshiping Yahweh, you would have found a group of people who are very impressed by this character of Jesus. And, you know, there was all kind of buzz about who he was, who he might be. He was very popular. He had been healing people, feeding people. He had garnered lots of attention. There was rumors, you know, that he might be one of the Old Testament prophets, that he might be Elijah coming back. There was even some whispering that maybe he would have been some type of deliverer. But they really did not understand. The general populace had no idea that the Messiah was in their midst. Really, they didn't even, they didn't fully catch on, many of them, until after his death. We know this. And if we're being honest with ourselves, this idea of who Jesus is and this misunderstanding of who he is an idea that has continued really until today. The idea that Jesus was merely a prophet. Even other religions will acknowledge that Jesus was a prophet, that he was a messenger of God, that he revealed God's divine message to the world, but he himself was not divine. Some will say that he was a man and was a great moral teacher. That if you want some good advice on how to be moral within the world and be at peace with it, that Jesus is a good person to look for. And yet others still believe that Christ is fiction. That maybe he was a person who existed in history. And really, science has, in his history, has shown evidence and proof for the person of Jesus, but there are still the group of people who would say that everything that has been created around him is fictitious, that it was all wishful thinking, people using their imaginations to create a story around a man who existed at one time. And so when we ask ourselves, or the world today, this question that Jesus asked his disciples, who does the world say that I am? And really, we get similar answers today. The world will say, well, Jesus was a great teacher. He was maybe a prophet, you know, somebody that we can look to. And my guess is that if I asked most of you who Jesus was, that you'd give me a pretty good Sunday school answer. As we've already acknowledged, our graduates grew up in this church. They grew up going to vacation Bible school and Sunday school, confirmation class. We've taught them those good Sunday school answers about Jesus. But the question of who Jesus is and who do we say that he is a question that's difficult even for many of us in this room who are adults. We might be able to, you know, regurgitate answers, but have those truths sunk in. And so when Jesus asked this question of his disciples, who do you say I am? Peter replied, the Christ of God. The Christ of God. Christ is the Greek rendering of the Hebrew title Messiah, which means anointed one. And so Peter very much was acknowledging that Jesus was the long-awaited deliverer of Israel, the Messiah of God. That he wasn't just any old savior, that he wasn't just some person or rescuer, but that he was sent by God and, in fact, was God. As I said at the beginning, what we think about Jesus is everything. Acceptance or rejection of him makes all of the difference. And you may understand, you may have been taught that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the salvation for your sins. but have you made that come alive in your life? And so as we ask this question, who do you say that Jesus is? Three things that I want you to think about as you answer that question. First, what does it mean that Jesus came to earth? The incarnation of Christ. What does it mean? And how does that form your view of who you say that he is? A couple of things. One, that yes, he was very real, that he existed in history. Two, that he humbled himself and demonstrated the type of God that he was, the type of Messiah, that he came as a servant to demonstrate his love for you, that he loves you. So why did Jesus come to earth? To demonstrate his love for you. To save you. Yes. So what does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? So yeah, we acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior, the Christ, but what is he saving us from? And why is it so important? We all know that we are sinners. We all know that the penalty for sin is death. But something I've enjoyed doing is I enjoy looking at the book of Leviticus with teenagers and begin looking at all of the different types of sins that are listed in the Leviticus and what the sacrifices that you would need to offer in order to pay for those sins. And then even as adults would be thinking about, well, how many doves and how many goats and how many buckets of grain in my lifetime should I have had to offer before God? My answer is quite a few yesterday. And Jesus is saying, put all of that away. I've got this for you. Place all of the burden on me. I will carry it for you. So he is the Christ. And the last question is, you think about who do you say Jesus is? Is what does it mean that he's Lord? And so it's comfortable, it's easy to think about the Jesus who loves you, the Jesus who saves you, because it really doesn't require any sacrifice on your part or any commitment or any change, really. It's just happy. But Jesus says, I am more than that. I am also your Lord. And what that means is that we are to lay our lives before him, to ask him, which direction are you calling me in? Where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What do you want me to use my life for? Because Jesus says your very lives are a living sacrifice to be presented before me. And so this question is, Jesus asks you, who do you say I am? But the world will also ask you, what do you believe about Jesus? And my hope and prayer is that your answer will not only be in your words, but in your life. And the things that you can point to that demonstrate that Jesus is not only a loving, saving God, but that he is the Lord of your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just help us. Help us all to acknowledge that your ways are better than our ways. And help us to follow after you. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.